I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation, and I have Amanda Wynn here with me. She is very close to being a certified professional midwife. She's waiting to do her NARM boards, and we were talking before we hit record, and it always happens where I'm like, stop, I need you to, this is a great story. I want to put it on the record. Her journey is just amazing over the last 5 years of training and where she's been with her family. So Amanda, thank you for being here with me.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I know we had a little bit of hiccup with everything getting started, so
that's
I'm really excited.
Like, you know, I say about half the people I schedule, I anticipate 2-3 times because of birth or life, and all good, all good.
I think we hit every one of those. So anyway, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to kind of give like a direction for moms or students that are looking like, how am I going to do this? I don't think I can do this. I can't do the traditional route. I'm not going to have the same preceptor. I don't have a preceptor local. And I think that really I hope that we can get more midwives. I think that's what everyone
wants. We need more midwives. Oh my
goodness. Really do. Like, that's what sent me on this path, is that we were living in North Carolina. And North Carolina is not a CPM friendly state, as many of us know. And I had just moved there from Virginia, and I had the choice of like one midwife. And so I was like, there has to be a better way to do this. Like, women need choices. So that's kind of what started me on the journey. I'd been a birth doula for a really long time. I worked in Virginia. So we are a military family. My husband is in the Marine Corps, and he's been in the Marine Corps for about 19 years. And we got married after college. I did a marketing degree in college, an ag marketing degree. So agricultural marketing. Yeah. And I did an internship in purchasing, and I worked as a fundraising specialist, event planner, and kind of did that. And then I got pregnant and we had our first son, and my husband was going to deploy. This is during Iraq. And so I was like, well, I don't really want my mom at my birth. And I didn't have family close. We were living in North Carolina. And so I started looking into doulas, and I just couldn't find anyone that would commit to coming to my birth. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I started the doula route. And then after I'd been a doula for a couple of years, I just really got tired of seeing these families work so hard for these beautiful births that they really envisioned, and they had their birth plan and they were so excited, and then they would get there and the provider's like, yeah, you're not doing any of that. And I was like, there has
to
be.
It all falls apart so many times,
yeah,
and it just breaks your heart.
So much depends on the provider, not all of it, but like for me,
it's just a bigger system, unfortunately. I mean, we have the luxury when we do out of hospital births that we can personalize, we can build that relationship. Like, it's just a different animal when you're EMTALA and you have to prepare for anything that comes through the door.
Yeah, no, you do. And so I was in Virginia at that time, and I had a really sweet, beautiful friend of mine that was like, you should look into home birth. Like, you're pregnant, you should look into home birth. And I was like, oh, home birth, like, that's kind of dangerous, isn't it? Like, nah, I had 2 babies on medical in the hospital, medicalized in the hospital. Like, I think I'm all right. But I was her doula for her home birth. And after seeing what a difference it was just such a different environment. And that baby was just greeted so peacefully. I mean, it was just beautiful. I mean, and they were prepared. It wasn't like a butter birth, as we call them. I mean, there were some complications, and the midwives were trained and they handled them, and everything handled, you know, they were prepared. That's why they were there.
Yeah, you didn't see them get traumatized and now she's high risk for the rest of her,
right.
her experience.
No,
yeah.
No, I mean, like, we had some problems with the midwife, just handled it. And I mean, that was why she was there. Yeah. And so after that, I was like, all right, we're having a home birth. My husband was like, we can have this free birth at the Naval Hospital. Like, why do we want a home birth? And he watched Business of Being Born. He was like, all right, I'm sold. Like, we'll do this.
Well, I wish the Business of Being Born did that for most husbands.
Yeah, I do too. But anyway, so that's kind of how I had it. I had my third baby. We have 5 children. And I had Jedediah at home in the water. And it was just a beautiful birth. Like, I was so thankful that I had that. And so after I'd had that birth, we moved to North Carolina. And my home birth provider in Virginia came and did all of her visits at my house. And when I moved to North Carolina, I was like, I don't have that luxury. Like, there's not anybody here that will do home visits. And so I found a CNM that was great. I actually ended up working with her. And she's just, you know, just a great, great teacher and midwife, but, it was just a little bit different than the care I'd gotten in Virginia, and there was just not a lot of options. I mean, there really wasn't. So that just shocked me how many options are available in Virginia. And then you went, you know, 500 miles in North Carolina and there's nothing. So, that's what kind of inspired me. And then working, in North Carolina, I had my daughter there, and, My mother-in-law moved to the area, and she was able to help with our kids a little bit. And so that's where I started getting my midwifery stuff as a PEP student. And I did about a year with a local midwife, and I was her assistant, kind of like a backup assistant. And then we moved to Rhode Island, and I was like, oh, we're moving again. And so I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, maybe I just need to go back and get my CNM. And I started taking some classes at the local community college again, even though I'd already had my bachelor of science. So I was like, oh, I'll just knock those science classes out and I can do this. We're homeschooling our kids at the time. And then my husband got overseas orders to Okinawa, Japan. And that was just like the clincher, like, I'm done. And my husband's like, no, like, you need to look into this, like, you can figure this out. And I really do think that you need to have like somebody in your corner rooting for you.
100%.
And it's like, and I think part of being military is you move so often, so you just have to recreate yourself anyway. But I think having that like skill, because I've done doula work, you know, in 5 different states, and you just recreate yourself and you start over and you do it. And it does get old, but I think that has been really beneficial for my midwifery career.
Well, you're going to be so adaptable to different situations and settings and needs. I mean, you've created a forced skill set that you may or may not know how grateful it'll be long-term.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hope it's, you know, I hope it's good. when we got our overseas orders, I was like, all right, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I can do this in short-term bursts. Like, that's what we'll do. And I know a lot of people really don't like short-term birth, and they kind of look down on it on birth working clinical settings. But I personally feel like that's one of the ways that that's how we're going to get more people into this line of work. Like, if it
well,
were not
it's all a cultural that, perception thing, because I think like even in a hospital setting with nurse midwives doing clinicals, it's which baby they caught. They don't know the woman. I mean, it's interesting that cultural mindset of the number focus versus the whole.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think even in short-term work, you get to know moms. I mean, you do. You get to
you
know
build
moms.
A relationship very quickly. They trust you wholeheartedly.
You still have to do your continuity of care. Like, you're not going to just run in and get your baby, all these babies caught in, you know, 5 weekends or something. Yeah. I mean, it's not possible. And I don't think that's what anyone's doing. But I do think that short-term apprentice work is a huge benefit. And I wish more practices, and you know, I'm keep talking to students. I have students talk to me like all the time. Where can I go? What do you think I should do? And I was like, do it. Like, do it for your family. Like, this is.
It used to be very common practice. I mean, you read the stories of the 70s, 80s. They just didn't. You'd go for 8-12 weeks, and you were now a midwife. Like, you just got intense immersion. You live there, you breathe there, and then you're a midwife. So, like, where's this perception of like, what is the time and what counts you as qualified? And
So I started looking into more about that, and I was like, all right, I think this would actually work really well for our kids. Like, I could go for a couple of months or a month or weeks and see. So I enrolled with National College of Midwifery, who I think every college has glitches, but I have loved my education through them. I looked at a lot of other ones. There's a lot, you know, there's pros and cons to each, but for us, National College is really flexible on how they let you do your clinical work and how they let you do your educational work, like your didactic work. And so for me, I was able to do a lot of the academic portion while I was overseas. And I was, you know, I was pregnant a lot of the time. And
you're
I
just Wonder Woman.
If I had not, like, if I had to go and be in person and do a skills day, or if I had done that. And so I'm really thankful that they have that flexibility. So I did National College, I enrolled with them. And then before we went overseas, I was like, I'm going to get some skills under my belt, you know, make sure I really want to do this. And this is a good fit. So I decided to do National College of Midwifery. And then I went to Utah for, I believe, 3 weeks and worked at a high volume birth center and did some apprentice work. Mostly I really went to one birth during that time. And I did, but a lot of prenatals, and it just really showed me that, okay, this is a possibility. Like, I can do this. My husband and kiddos can survive without me. And this is actually a really good way. Like, for us as a family, it worked really well for me not to be on call 24/7 and to do the work in short bursts. So we moved to Japan and we kind of got settled there, and then I got pregnant. And I just worked on my education, academics, and I thought, okay, I'll go back to Utah. That's kind of my plan. And then I talked with another midwife, and I think it's so interesting how connected our midwifery circles are. And I'm really thankful for that, because I've talked with so many different people in so many different states and countries. And just the resources that everyone has, when we group them together, we're able to do so much. So I had talked with a student while I was in Utah before I went to Okinawa, and she was like, go to the Philippines. Like, that's what I think I'm going to do. And I reached out to Shipper Birthing House, and this is before COVID. And I'm like, is there any way that you would let me bring my baby and come and work at your clinic? And Jerry Gunnarsson is the advisor there, and she's amazing, and she's like, sure, come, like, show up. And I was like, all right, I'm going. My husband's like, you're doing what?
I'm leaving, taking the baby, leaving.
Like, all right, we're gonna go. So I went to the Philippines, and I left my husband and four kids. And originally I was gonna go for 4 weeks. Like, I was like, we'll do 4 weeks, we'll see how it goes. And I really wanted to come back and have most of my apprenticeship work done. That was as an assistant, and to be working towards primary numbers. Like, that was my goal when I left. And that July, when I went, they had 12 moms have babies. And I went to 11 of the 12 births. But I wasn't where I needed to be number-wise. And so I, like, called my husband. And I was like, I think I'm going to stay longer. And he was like, what? Like, Amanda,
your husband's a saint. Oh my gosh.
I really think you have to have somebody supportive. So he was like, all right, like, he was not thrilled.
But I'm sure it's a balance. It's so hard. Yeah,
I mean, even when he deploys quite a bit or goes on work, and so I'm used to it, but I think that this was like him seeing what it was like coming on the other side. And he was like, this is a lot of work. And you have that end date, at least when he's gone, I do. Like, you have that end date, like, okay, I have a week left, I can do this, I can power through. And then when he gets to the end, you're like, no, this is more than a week.
Yeah, it's the mental game. It's the, I'm single, solo, I'm counting down, I've got an end game. Yes.
Yeah, so my hat goes off to families that are solo parenting, because I think that is so hard. Mm-hmm. So I stayed a little bit longer in the Philippines, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to come back and do some primary work. So I went back home. We had my littlest's first birthday at home. I got my kids started with school, and then I went back to the Philippines, and I took our youngest son with me. And one of the midwives had a cousin that worked with me as a nanny. And then one of the other midwives who was trying to earn some money for school would work nanny in the like at night if I had a primary. So it worked really well for all of us. Like, it was just a really huge way that everything connected.
You could support really each other and your needs. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I went back to the Philippines, and then that was in the fall of 2019. And I just had a little bit of clinical work to do. And so I thought, okay, I'll go to the States. Go back to Utah. And then COVID hits.
Surprise. You had another thing added. And to not have any gray hairs and be a saint.
Oh, I don't have gray hair.
You can handle anything.
I have plenty of gray hair. I need to find a new coloring stylist, probably. Yeah, so COVID hit and they're in Japan. So I had Asher, my youngest, at a birth center. And I had two kids at home at Naval Hospitals unmedicated. And then I had two babies in different states at home. And I just knew I could not go back to a hospital setting. Me personally, after having home births. And I just couldn't do it. Like, I want to be a horrible patient, but two, I just, it's not the way.
Oh, I've said that over and over again. Like with my last, I got some gestational diabetes. I'm like, this is the biggest motivator to keep my home birth. Like, yes, I get it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. So I know, I just knew I would not be like, it just would not be a good situation for anybody. So, there in Japan, there was a birth center. It's called Yui Birth Center. And they were actually covered by TRICARE, which was our insurance, surprisingly, because it's run by an obstetrician, Dr. Fumi. And she is this amazing lady. She's teeny tiny, maybe like 4'8", and super amazing, like just amazing, very into health, very into moms and babies and supporting them. And she was contacted by some American military families that are over there. And they're just wanting, you know, wanting a different option for their families. And so she agreed to start having Americans come use her clinic. And it's just really neat. Like, you guys will have to look up Yui Birth Center. It's just a great, great facility.
I'm chatting, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, she has this birth center that she runs, and they also have midwives that will come in and do home births. And so that was my plan with my youngest. And then I went to 42 weeks and they will not allow you to do home birth past 41.6 in their facility. So I risked out and I ended up having Asher at the clinic. But for me, I think it was a blessing in disguise because in Japan, they let you stay for 5 days postpartum.
Wow.
And you get pampered. I mean, they make you all organic food and they're feeding you and they're giving you massages. And it was amazing. I mean,
just got a postpartum spa day. I think
that's what it was essentially like
in the US.
It was amazing. I keep joking, like the doulas that I've worked with over there, I'm like, we just need to open a Yui clinic in the States. I don't know how we'll make it feasible, but we're going to do that.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, so I had him there and I was just really thankful. And so when COVID hit, the bases in Japan just shut everything down. They wouldn't let foreign visitors in. And so we had two families that were trying to have home births and they would only allow two passes for midwives to get on base. And so I assisted with the midwives at those births, just being a very basic assistant doing notes and charts. But that kind of opened up the door for me to petition to the government and also to NCM to finish some clinical work, my COCs in Japan. And Dr. Fumi agreed to take me as a student. And she's like, if you find the family. So I had 14 families that I was involved in their care with over in Japan. They're all military. And it was just the sweetest opportunity anyone could ask for. And it worked out really well for them because they were essentially getting kind of an American midwife student and they were getting the Japanese experience. And I think it really was a good thing for the birth center too. Like, it just was really well.
The cultural immersion on both sides, we were really blending care. Yeah, that's awesome.
That worked well. And I mean, I definitely learned a lot of care options and I don't know, it was a great opportunity. I'm really thankful I had it. So I did my COC work in Japan and then we got orders and we moved back to Oceanside, California. And any of you that are like students, I think will appreciate our midwives. Like, you're this midwife and I'm like, all right, I'm pretty much done. Like, I had all my numbers except 10 stateside births and trying to find a practice that was like, hey, I'm a primary student. I just need 10 catches. And like, I don't know you and you don't know me, but hey, let me come work in your practice is not easy. But I found a practice in Oceanside that is absolutely amazing. And I was pretty open when I wrote my letter, like, hey, I've not been in California. I've never been there before. I don't know the area, but I'm looking for a midwife to really help me fine tune my skills, both professionally and like learn to run a business. I'm not planning to open a business, but I really want like a well-rounded education. And a lot of what I've done has been overseas. And so I really want someone to help me piece all this together. And I'm working with Birth Matters and they're just amazing. I mean, they just were like, okay, we'll take you. And a lot of people wouldn't do that, but they did. I did a lot of assisting with them. I mean, I didn't just jump in and start catching babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to build up the relationship a little bit. Yeah, I get
that. Yeah. So, but that is where I'm at right now. And I'm just finishing everything up and just waiting to do the norm. And I saw the sticker price for that the other day. I was like, woo!
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, I don't know if you've thought about it, with your husband having 1 year left and he could potentially retire, like what is your vision with like a midwifery practice or how you want to run things? Are you going to get a little more settled somewhere? What's your vision?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just curious. I mean, I figured I was putting you on the spot. You're like, one step at a time. Let me pass the norm. No, the universe will provide.
We've always joked that he has always said, like, when he retires from the military, he's not going to just go back and do, like, government work. I don't know. He might. We might. We've talked
about it. We can have him on the birth center. You be the midwife. We'll have him be the
midwife. That's what we've talked about. No, that's what I was like. I was like, he's pretty... I don't know. I'm like, do you have tact to be with this? But you know, he's really good at that. But that's what we have talked about long term is when he retires, he'll kind of do like the mom dad thing and help with the kids in their school. And we've fallen in love with Southern California. Our kids are in a great charter school here that they go to and do electives at. And we really like the area. So I don't know. I don't know. We'd always said we were going to retire in the Northeast and go back to Rhode Island, which I don't know if we'll do that or not, but we're kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I like the snow anymore.
I know. When you've been so long out of the snow and so many amazing places, I think sometimes we get comforted by where we're at because we don't know anywhere else. And then once your visions and ideas always change and morph. So I'm very excited for you, Amanda. I mean, I'm hoping this is inspiration to anyone that thinks that being a mom and a military and moving all the time is a barrier to becoming a midwife, because you have shown them, no, that's, you can do it.
I really think you just have to have supportive people behind you, and you just have to look and say, okay, what opportunities? And I think we, you know, we owe that to others. That's my hope, is that if I can maybe start Birth Center and do some short-term clinical work for other students or something eventually, that I am really thankful I have those options and those opportunities that people gave me. So,
well, that's amazing. I know you and I will definitely have to talk after the recording, because I've brainstormed like a hybrid short-term clinical like business fellowship, because there's not a lot of business education with midwifery school. So we'll definitely have to talk.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to get a nice combination for midwives out there.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot that, you know, that there's so many options that are available. It's just getting the right people connected and to know each other.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Amanda. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.